It is a football Sunday in the South, and your Falcons season starts right now. Today, the NFL season kicks off for the Falcons, a showdown with the Steelers here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And welcome to the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. The Wade Ford Tailgate Show brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer. John Fricke alongside our Falcons insider and reporter Joe Patrick. Joe, looks like football. It smells like football. The question is, does it feel like this could be playoff football for the Falcons this year?
I think it does. I think if you're to go around this parking lot, which is going to get more full as we go through the show today, John, I think if you're to go around and ask people whether this Falcons team is going to make the playoffs, I would imagine you probably get 80% yes, 90% yes. Hell, these are Falcons fans. Maybe 100% yes. But it certainly is exciting. I think that's one of the reasons why people are so gung-ho about today is because it feels like the start of something that could be truly special for this team after having gone through such a long offseason. You remember, John, where we were in early January when Arthur Smith was fired after that last day of the year. Of course, he's back in the building today. But so many things have happened for this Falcons team over the course of many months that have led us to this point. I think it's all that anticipation, all that waiting has got all these people so excited to see what this team actually is today.
And, of course, this is a team that there's a lot of high hopes, as you mentioned, a team that is favored by many to win the NFC South. And as this offseason has gone along, all these new faces, we'll talk about those, and the new coaches and the new schemes and the new vibe around the team as well. Now, today, a really difficult opener. You're playing one of the great teams, great historic team, six-time Super Bowl champion Pittsburgh Steelers. But let's talk quarterbacks, Joe, because that's going to be the focus today. You have two of the greatest quarterbacks in the recent history of the NFL in Russ Wilson and Kirk Cousins. And let's begin with Pittsburgh, because Russ had a calf injury, was out for most of the preseason. There was talk earlier this week that Russ was not going to be activated for the game and that Justin Fields was going to be named the starter. And then as of yesterday, Russ raises his hand and says, I think I can go. And now do they have a problem with Arthur Smith, the former head coach, now the offensive coordinator? Does he have a problem with the fact that he's got two quarterbacks who both think they're starting this game?
Yeah, well, I think it's something we'll probably talk about later in the show, John, but it certainly does feel like the Falcons are in a lot more settled situation going into this week one game than the Steelers are, who are kind of completely in flux. They've got injuries all across that offensive line, as you just mentioned, at the most important position in all of sports. There's a major question mark as to who's going to be their starter today. I don't know if they even know that at this point. This is a situation that has developed really since Friday, where Russell Wilson at that point was limited in practice with a calf strain, or actually he was out of practice. He's since come back and said he's okay to play, but the Steelers might not want to risk putting him out there with a tight calf. Apparently that is an injury that can be a problem for quarterbacks, especially if it's on that back leg that they've got to push off of. And so that's a big question mark, and it's a big decision they've got to make, because these are two quarterbacks, in my opinion, that are very different stylistically. Justin Fields is not going to play the same way that Russell Wilson does. I know that they're both kind of scrambling playmaker type quarterbacks, but they clearly have different strengths, and I think that Arthur Smith has got to kind of reimagine what he's going to call today based on what quarterback's going to be out there.
Well, today we get to see for the first time, because of the nature of what Raheem Morris, the new head coach, decided to do with the preseason, and the fact that, you know, not many people were able to get to either the open practice at Mercedes-Benz or at Second Year High, the first snap of Kirk Cousins as an Atlanta Falcon quarterback. A lot of high hopes here. What is your expectation? I still see people, Joe, you've seen him in practice, who are saying, is Kirk Cousins 100%? I think we need to answer that question.
Yeah. And that question will obviously get answered today. I've seen him really progress. You know, it has been interesting from a media perspective to see where he was in OTAs, you know, when he's first, just kind of getting his first on-field time, where you could obviously tell that he's not 100%, but then seeing him progress from that stage, going through training camp, you know, doing everything. He has not missed a snap, a practice. He's been there for absolutely everything. I know that there's been a lot of rumors or conspiracy theorizing going on about, you know, what's his situation going to be based upon the preseason playing time. But I think that he needs to prove to fans that he can, like, take that hit, that he's going to be okay. But ultimately, you know, he's a guy who's been around this league for a long time. Raheem Morris has kind of joked about it when asked about it by other media members, if he can withstand taking a hit or something. He's been around for a long time. He knows how to handle his body. He knows how to handle the situation of week one. He knows that all the eyeballs are also on him with this situation. And I think it's really important that the offensive line keeps him as clean as possible today, because you don't want to see him taking a bunch of hits. But he even said, you know, there's a sicko inside of you as a football player that kind of wants to take that first hit in the season.
Right. Well, not only to just, okay, it's underway, and it's going, but also for just his peace of mind, because he hasn't thrown a pass in a game since the middle of last year, and to go, okay, I got hit, I'm fine, let's go. And so we'll see how this kind of all works out for Kirk Cousins, but it's going to be really interesting to see, because we see a veteran quarterback in an offense, and one of the things, Joe, that I know you heard when I was, because you and I talked about it on some of the shows that I was hosting, that some Falcons fans really don't quite grasp yet, is that this offense is, it's not that we did not incorporate and bring over to us the Rams offense, okay? Mm-hmm. The Rams offense was taken to Los Angeles by Raheem Morris, and that was the 2016 Atlanta Falcons offense that Sean McVay incorporated, which is why they made the trade to go from Jared Goff to Matt Stafford, because Stafford fit that kind of offense. And so when Raheem comes back here, he's not bringing back the LA Rams offense. He's just reinstalling what they did in 2016 here.
Yeah, for the most part, I mean, obviously things evolve since 2016. It's amazing the way that this league changes, and if you were to ask even Sean McVay, I'm sure he's not running a lot of the same plays that he did back then, but some of them he would, and schematically, from a kind of a holistic perspective, how you're running the ball, the kind of general scheme in which you do these things, yeah, I think those are going to be ported over. And it's kind of funny talking actually to Zach Robinson, the offensive coordinator, earlier this week, and some of the other players kind of joking around about Raheem Morris, saying, yeah, you think he's a defensive coach? He's been the defensive coordinator. He's an offensive coach. Don't let him fool you.
Don't let him fool you.
That's how it is so often, is when defensive coaches are oftentimes incredibly well-versed in offensive principles and modern offensive tactics, because that's what they've got to prepare for to know how to stop. So it's really interesting the way that coaches kind of have this knowledge that goes back and forth. But I think with Raheem in particular, he's such an asset for this team because of his experience on both sides of the ball, being a defensive coordinator, obviously, at the Rams and previous stops, and then also, obviously, having worked with the Falcons wide receivers during their incredible offensive season during that Super Bowl run. So I think that there's a ton of confidence from the fans in Raheem Morris and the players in Raheem Morris. I think there's a lot of confidence overall, just in general. I think a lot of people are really optimistic about this Falcons team, both in their building and in this parking lot.
It is a Falcons game day Sunday. We are live right alongside Northside Drive here. Easy for me to say. It's early in the morning. Wait for Tailgate Show. John Fricke and Joe Patrick with you. We're taking it to 11 o'clock when we will join Chris Goforth and Mike Johnson for the network and the pregame show. 1 o'clock kick today. Wes and Dave on the call inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Joe, I appreciate everything about Mercedes-Benz Stadium, but this is one of those days you wish almost you had a true full open-air stadium, because it is a picture perfect Sunday for football.
It is beautiful. I feel like I've done shows here in the past in the early season, and I want to knock on wood here, because this could definitely turn, but where it's been kind of humid, warm this time, and it's still kind of summery.
And we've been in the winter.
Yeah, and the opposite of that, but yeah, no, this is perfect. This is exactly why you wake up in the mornings on Sunday mornings as a red-blooded American, to get down here in beautiful weather. You know, you smell the smoke coming off some of these grills, some of these smokers. I see ribs going on the back, some chicken going on right now. The music's going to be blasting. We got us. We got, everybody. It's just, this is what it's all about. This is Americana right here.
Yeah, my daughter, who is in charge of the backyard over there, she went to a wedding yesterday in D.C., and she had to fly back at dark, and she's texting me because she's across the street over in the backyard, putting it on, saying that the buzz over in the backyard is already building. And so with this new Signia Hilton here, and the backyard, and the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and now, of course, all of the stuff that's going on around here, and all the new work, and we can see over the tree line here, all the new work that's going to be in that what used to be the gulch. Mm-hmm. And boy, downtown Atlanta's skyline and the whole atmosphere continues to change. And so one of the things we want to have change is we want to have a football team that makes Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Joe, a home field advantage for the first time. Now, we know today they're going to be 15 or 20,000 Steelers fans. They live here. They come out in force. But Falcons fans sold out season tickets this year for the first time in 20 years.
Yeah. And head coaches in the past, I'm thinking particularly about Arthur Smith, have talked about this, about wanting to try to make this place kind of that party atmosphere that I certainly remember the Georgia Dome to being when I was going there as a fan of this team growing up. I mean, some of my, formative memories were in that stadium or around it, in the parking lots, things like that, before big games. that's the kind of feeling you want to get back. And this stadium, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, is such a crown jewel for sports in this country already. I mean, you think about all the NCAA football national championship games that have been played here, the bowl games, the Super Bowl that's been hosted here, even in other sports, soccer, whether it's concert venue or whatnot.
Well, but we got Final Four and World Cup coming.
Yeah, absolutely. And but they just haven't had that one, you know, the it's the home of the Falcons, and you really want the Falcons to kind of have a centerpiece moment in that stadium that has not happened yet. So I think that's kind of also a part of Raheem Morris's vision for what he wants out of this tenure. Is he talked about it as introductory press conference, how cool would it be for full circle to, you know, for him to be handing the Super Bowl trophy to Arthur Blank for him to raise in that stadium. It was certainly, you know, that's a long ways off. That's what their ultimate goal is, but you got to start by winning games consistently here at home.
Well, and not only that, but you have the attention of the town. You have the attention of the fans. We've been talking here on the flagship about, you know, this team for months now, ever since the coaching search. And I want to believe, Joe, now this is me wanting to believe as a Falcons fan, not as a talk show host, that they got the coaching search thing absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
That they couldn't have made a better choice, because what one of the things, and I know that we're talking about today's game, but one of the things this franchise needs is it needs its Mike Tomlin.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It needs a guy that can be your head coach for 12, 15 years mm-hmm. and get off this wheel of coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this might be the guy.
Yeah, and it feels like Raheem Morris, he feels like he's part of this community, you know, of this team, this organization, because he's been here before, obviously, and he has that kind of not just institutional knowledge of what the Falcons are, but also just that passion for what it means for Falcons fans. And he's obviously been a part of a Falcons coaching staff that has taken this team to about the highest, you know, bit of the mountain you can get. Maybe you can get one step higher.
Well, yeah, one step higher, yes.
But one quarter higher. But, you know, he went out as high as you can get in that NFC Championship, though, that closed the tenure of the Georgia Dome, beating the Packers in that playoff run. So he knows what this Falcons fan base can be, and I think that, you know, everybody's excited for them to all just achieve that, but it's a long journey to get there.
Well, and it's a look, this is symbiotic. You know, some people say, well, you know, the Falcons fans, they don't. So, no, we do. I mean, you saw it at the Georgia Dome. We saw it at Fulton County Stadium, because I'm older than you. If you go back to, like, 1980, in that run in 1980, Fulton County Stadium was just bonkers. I mean, and so, no, but you got to give them a reason.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this team, since moving into Mercedes-Benz, hasn't given them a reason. Now there's, I think, for the first time, there's true. I mean, we came in last year going, okay, you know, you've got, let's see what Desmond Ritter can do, and we think we got a pretty good defense. Well, there's no question that on paper, this is the best team we've had since 2017 and that last playoff run.
It goes back. That's a great point that you make, John. It goes, you know, both ways. The team has to kind of give the fans a reason to believe and to be out here rooting. But it goes further than just the results. It's the style in which the team plays. The, you know, the way the players are expressing themselves on the field. That's what, you know, Falcons fans have loved about some of these playoff runs that they've had. Typically, when you're winning and you are performing well, then you are able to do that. But I remember, I think back to a playoff game this team had against the Rams with, you know, Dunn, Vic, and Duckett, kind of the DVD trio run the ball. They ran the ball all over the Rams, and it was just an amazing scene to be at the Georgia Dome that night. And those are the kinds of memories we want, you know, Falcons fans to have once again, but this time in Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
It is the Falcons and Steelers, a 1 o'clock kick today at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. John Fricke and Joe Patrick kicking things off at the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer. And we'll get you to the network pregame at 11 with Mike and Chris Goforth, and, of course, Wes and Dave on the call today. It is opening day, so opening Sunday, and you can't celebrate it any better than this. And we continue live from the Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the remarkable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The Falcons in the NFL, John Fricke, along with our Falcons insider and reporter Joe Patrick. And Joe, we kind of alluded to it in the opening segment, as fans kind of make their way towards the stadium, a lot of changes, a lot of new with this Atlanta Falcons team this year. What's going to have, let's just start broadly and we can kind of get into the specifics of something. The biggest change this year, in your opinion, is it going to be the new coaches, the new schemes that those new coaches bring in, the new quarterback room, the new stars they just picked up on defense? What's the biggest change for this team?
Well, I think the biggest change for this team, if you look on the roster from last year to this year, is at the quarterback position, and it's the most important position in all of sports. So that obviously starts with Kirk Cousins, but really where that leads is, what does Kirk Cousins allow this offense to do? Like, how many avenues does he open up for what they can do offensively as opposed to what they were, I think, restricted in doing last year? I think if you were to ask Arthur Smith, there were probably a lot of things he would have liked to call, but they could only do so much because of the limitations they had there at that position. And what do we say about that position last year? It was that the quarterback needed to be able to distribute the ball to all these playmakers that the Falcons have surrounded the quarterback position with in the draft. Now they finally have that quarterback that we're very confident, who has a long track record of being able to do exactly that. But how do they actually do that? How does Zach Robinson, the offensive coordinator, actually scheme up some of these incredibly talented players, Bijan Robinson, Drake London, Kyle Pitts? How does he get them all involved? How does he get them schemed up in a way where Kirk Cousins is able to kind of easily find whichever one of them is open and able to impact the play? That's what I'm looking most forward to. I think it's going to look completely different. I guarantee it's going to look completely different from what we saw in preseason, but I think it's going to be a very interesting test, and there's going to be a lot of unscouted looks today from both sides of the ball, but I think it's going to be very fun to see what this offense can be, and we're going to see it today.
Yeah, they're going to come out with their complete package, obviously. They're not going to hold anything back. So one of the big questions is Zach Robinson, the offensive coordinator, was talking about it, about not playing, the decision to not play Kirk Cousins in the preseason, and you and I mentioned this, and some fans have been, Joe, very defensive about the fact that, you know, hey, listen, you know, we should have done this. We've seen this before where we didn't play these guys in preseason and they came out and they looked bad. It happened under Dan Quinn in that awful game against Minnesota where the starter, it's a tailgate show and we are smelling the barbecues and smokers that are all over the place here. The smell of lighter fluid even smells great.
Yeah, yeah.
And so Zach Robinson was talking this week about the fact that, hey, they didn't play the starters, but this team is ready to go because they prepped them so well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this team has been working constantly, and the reason why we don't see a lot of these starters playing in preseason games is because they're not using the preseason to actually practice what they're going to do when 1 o'clock hits today in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I saw a stat that on 98% of the Falcons' offensive plays during this preseason, there was no motion pre-snap. That is going to be very much not the case. I can guarantee you that under Zach Robinson offense. But there was just, that's why there was not really a need to play those guys in the preseason. But they have been obviously, you know, scrimmaging very hard and working very hard on the offensive scheme that they are going to run. And he talked about that they've banked thousands and thousands of plays together, despite none of those plays actually happening in the preseason games.
Yeah, here's Zach Robinson, the new offensive coordinator, talking about just that.
That was kind of the message early in the week was, hey, you know, you looked at the training camp reps. Those guys have banked, like I said, over 2,000 reps, walkthrough, practice, jogthroughs. So they're in those situations. Now it's just there's nothing different.
And that was just training camp. He actually said that if you were to count OTAs and basically everything
like
they've done, more like 5,000, close to 5,000, which they have actually a staffer who kind of, you know, tallied all these numbers.
Whose job is that?
I know.
Hey, you, come over here. I want you to count everyone.
They were saying, I was told there would be no math.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. What'd you come up with? 5,000. I mean, if you can't be ready when you have a quarterback who's been in the league for as long as Kirk Cousins has been in the league, working with coaches who have been in the league as long as they've been in the league, with an offensive line that's returning intact, you know, with all the – there's two new starters on the offense, right? One of them is a wideout. The other is a quarterback who's been in the league forever with 5,000 staff. If you can't be ready for that, then I don't know what – I can't help you.
Fans are understandably concerned about, you know, what they're going to see because they haven't seen it yet. They haven't, like, you know, just gotten an experience of what this Falcons team is going to be like. But it should be really assuring for you to have a quarterback who comes in almost every single time he does press after a Falcons practice, and he's constantly talking about or alluding to the fact that he's kind of just constantly he talks about having a healthy state of rage, walking around the building with a healthy state of rage, and just in terms of like never feeling like you're ready, never feeling like you're fully prepared. And when you have a quarterback who kind of sets the tone with that kind of mentality, that means you probably are going to come into this game very well prepared. And if there's anything that Kirk Cousins is kind of known for as being a quarterback, it's the kind of, you know, they call him a maniacal note taker. It's that he's that guy who can never be prepared prepared enough, and he's going to make sure that all the guys around him are ready to play.
Yeah, Kirk was talking this week, the quarterback, about the fact that he is itching to get behind center and take a snap. Here's what he said. Well, I will say that he's ready to go here, and I will say this too. We have new players all over the field here in some respects, because what Terry Fontenot did in rebuilding this team, in rebuilding the structure of this team in this offseason was, look, you can say whatever you like, and I know some fans do, about Arthur Blank as an owner. The man has pushed all his chips into the pile, okay? I mean, they have restructured contracts. They have gone out and gotten three star players in the NFL, and they have put all their money in to making a serious push. Joe, not just at winning the division. It's bigger than that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I would say the front office has not pushed every chip in terms of, like, you know, kind of mortgaging everything possible in the future toward this one season to be successful. It's not necessarily that's the case, but you know, Terry Fontenot will always tell you it's Arthur Blank being willing to basically front the cash for what the Falcons have been able to do this offseason in order to restructure these contracts, to give these guys their signing bonuses so that you can then reduce your salary cap number and be able to add guys like Justin Simmons, be able to add a Pro Bowl caliber pass rusher like Matt Judon. You actually need just straight up cash to be able to make those moves, and some owners don't have or want to front that kind of money, but Arthur Blank obviously has, you know, as much of a passion for this as anybody in this town, wanting to see this team hit the mountain, you know, the mountaintop, and that's why this team has been able to make such impressive moves, and especially on that defensive side of the ball, where I think a lot of fans had question marks. I think a lot of those questions got shored up in these last few weeks with them signing those two players. Now it's just time for them to go out in there and show it.
Well, didn't we say, listen, what are the two big holes on defense? Well, there's a big hole in the secondary, and there's a big hole at edge. All you do is go out and trade for Matthew Judon and then get Justin Simmons to sign as a free agent. It's bigger than that, though. And the reason it's bigger than just trading for Judon and signing Simmons is what both of those players said. Judon had a choice.
Mm-hmm.
They gave him a choice of where did he want to go. He said, I want to come to Atlanta. Justin Simmons then was kind of recruited by the Falcons and said, I want to come to Atlanta. And they both said that it was the meeting with the other players, Grady and with AJ and with Jesse Bates, when they met with the other players, and it wasn't something that Terry Fontenot necessarily did. It wasn't something Raheem Morris necessarily did. It was the players themselves. So they're all vested in this,
yeah.
And you're hearing it from them because Judon has started to speak a little bit in code about really big things on this defense.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think something that you have to give Terry Fontenot so much credit for, it's not just about the moves that have happened this year, but it's about the moves that they've made really since he's been the GM in acquiring the kinds of people that they want to be on this Falcons team, as well as the player. But he will tell you when they're, you know, for example, doing their draft scouting, they scout the person and then they scout the player. When they like the person, then they'll go further in and delve further into the analysis of the player. And what that results in is a extremely healthy locker room, which we heard from Matt Judon specifically talk about. You know, when I came in here, it's a breath of fresh air because there's not cliques in the locker room. There aren't these divides. Everybody, you know, gets along great with one another. Everybody's on the same wavelength in terms of, you know, their preparation, how they like to get ready for games, for practices, and things like that. It's just a very healthy atmosphere inside this Falcons building, and you know, that's a lot of credit to all the due diligence that Terry Fontenot has done. And with these players, I think it speaks, you know, loudly to it that you get two, again, quality human beings in Matt Judon and Justin Simmons. Justin Simmons, you know, a veteran of this league and a great communicator. These are the perfect types of not just the characters that you want to embody the Falcons as an organization, but also to make this defense as effective as it could possibly be.
Boy, there's so many storylines today to talk about, and we're going to be taking you all the way to kickoff. It is a Falcons Football Sunday live from outside Mercedes-Benz Stadium. You can hear all the buzz building already here with the Steelers fans waving their terrible towels and the Falcons fans walking in. A lot of Falcons fans wearing white today. A lot of white jerseys over there. So a lot of Falcons fans getting ready for this opening game of the 2024 season, a season that is filled with hope and maybe for good reason, a belief that this team is going to have a big impact on the NFL. We'll continue our coverage as we walk down towards the opening kick of this day here. The new head coach, Raheem Morris, could be on the field here. Four wins as an interim head coach, and now he gets the team for himself. We'll continue counting down to kickoff on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Kirk Cousins, new starting quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons. Wade Ford Tailgate Show brought to you by Wade Ford as we broadcast live from outside Mercedes-Benz Stadium. This portion of the show, the look around the NFL, brought to you by Hatfield. Put pork on your fork. All right, so here we go. Kirk Cousins ready to go here as the Falcons get ready to take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, let's talk about what's already happened, Joe, because what's already happened isn't just two games in the NFL. What's already happened has set the tone for the Atlanta Falcons because it directly impacts this team. Opening night, Thursday night, Chiefs win by a toe over the Baltimore Ravens, though the Ravens, in my opinion, and more expressly Lamar Jackson, kind of failed. I mean, I think they kind of gave that game away. I mean, they had that game for the taking, and they couldn't get it done. But the Chiefs do win, and, of course, we'll see the Chiefs in 2 weeks here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Yeah, it's very interesting to see. And, you know, something that I've thought of is that these are all flawed teams at this point in the year. You know, you look at the schedule when it comes out for the Falcons and you say, okay, well, you got the Steelers. They're a traditionally tough team. That's going to be really hard. Then you go to Philadelphia, and then you come back to face the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. But then when you watch them, you feel like they're at least gettable. Now, the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes, that's tough. Like, that's obviously going to be a very difficult game. But watching this Packers-Eagles game on Friday night, you know, again, maybe the field conditions played into it, but there's vulnerabilities in this team, and I think that that's probably what the Falcons are looking at. When you're looking at game planning, you're looking at how can you get at them, and I think that that's probably what they've seen here these last couple days.
All right, let's give you a quick update. Jordan Love, there is somewhat good news, I guess, for the Green Bay Packers in that it is not season-ending what happened with he and Jalen Carter at the end of that game. He is going to be out for 3 to 6 weeks, and of course the Packers fans are hoping it's going to be on the lesser side of that, but at least he's not season-ending. But to the Eagles, now you got Saquon Barkley. He shows up, and suddenly 3 touchdowns, and every fantasy owner in the world's going, where has this Saquon Barkley been?
Yeah.
And he does change the dynamic. And, of course, that's the next team you're going to face on the road in Philadelphia primetime next week. So the way this kind of sets up here for the Atlanta Falcons, as you start to think about Saquon Barkley in primetime, as you start to think about Patrick Mahomes the following week in primetime here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, you go, well, the defense is going to have to play really well. You got Russ Wilson and or Justin Fields today. I want to put a full stop because I want to go back to the defense. If there was one thing that Arthur Smith was able to do with Dean Pease and with Ryan Nielsen was patchwork of defense over the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. It's what carried this team for 3 years because Lord knows it wasn't the noodle arm quitter. It wasn't DoorDash Dez. What carried this team was that defense and what they were able to do. So Jimmy Lake's got a high bar because the defense has been so good, and now he has Grady Jarrett back. He has Troy Anderson back. He's got Matthew Judon. He's got Justin Simmons. And in the eyes of a lot of people, he got no excuses.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And before I get into this, John, if you think I'm just staring into your eyes, it's actually the chicken on the grill right over your right shoulder that I'm really staring at. But, yeah, this defense, you know, you're totally right in the way that they've been able to put it together with, frankly, less talented pieces over, you know, the past few years. But what I think there's a opportunity and a goal to strive for this current defense is to be one that's can change games quicker, that can take the ball away. We obviously saw Jesse Bates do this last year. He was incredible, became an All-Pro with 6 interceptions that led the team. But I think they feel like there's more in it for them, especially when you talk about the pass rush and the pass rush generating not just sacks, but sack fumbles, like the strip sacks. Those are the kinds of game-changing plays that this Falcons team really hasn't had a ton of over these last couple years. And again, they didn't really have all of the pieces against under Dean Pease a couple years ago. He did really the Lord's work in putting together a defense that actually kept points off the board at a rate, you know, relative to their talent level was a huge accomplishment. But they were not a game-changing type of defense whatsoever. Last year, you saw, I think, an even singier defense, and obviously one that started to incorporate a little bit of this of their play. But I think this year, with an interior pass rush that can really disturb quarterbacks, when you look at the quarterbacks on the Falcons' schedule, frankly, I know it doesn't feel like this early in the season, but when we get later and deeper in the season, there's going to be a lot of quarterbacks there for the taking for this defense that are just inexperienced or struggling to this point in their careers. This is a defense that I think is going to be able to take advantage of a lot of these offenses and create those game-changing types of plays. When you add a guy like Matt Judon, who's been a Pro Bowler, who's done this, double-digit sack guy basically every year of his career, Justin Simmons, a guy who's led the NFL in interceptions since he came in 2016, seen. Those are the kinds of pieces that can really change what is a solid defense that you think can generally keep points off the board to one that can turn games against really good teams, and that's what you need in the NFL in a game of tight margins.
Right. I mean, it's not a defense that really is built to be a defense of containment. It's built to be a defense that's aggressive.
Yep, yep.
To make game-changing field-flipping plays. So I totally agree with you on that. That's what I want to see out of this defense is, you know, the turnover margin. I want to see the sack numbers go up. But as you look at Matthew Judon, and if you look at Grady coming back, and Onyemata, and even, you know, Rukororo, and some of the guys that are going to be Taequann Graham, you know, that are going to be in the inside of that interior line, I'm going to be really kind of interested to see, in terms of pressures and sacks and things of that nature, how much do you think we're going to see? We talk about all the new veterans. How much growth do we see out of two guys, Arden Lebbecady, Zach Harrison?
They're huge. They're huge years for both of those guys. And I think that it's a more clear objective for Arden Lebbecady. He's got a role on this team. And if you're, you know, Raheem Morris, something he's been echoing all training camp long is this role clarity, role clarity. That's what he says, role clarity. And I think he's specifically talking about players who don't have maybe a starting role on this team, like an Arden Lebbecady. He's not going to be out there on first down, perhaps, but he's going to have a role when opposing offenses get into pass rush situations. And, you know, something Raheem Morris says is there's guys in this league who he's had in L.A. or in the past who have been able to have a narrow role but a defined role, and if they excel in that, they really become a household name. And I think that he sees a guy like Arden Lebbecady as kind of the perfect example of this type of player, where he might not be a starter, he might not be a guy who plays more than 50% of snaps for this defense, but if he can get home on those pass rush snaps that he has, he's certainly going to make his, you know, himself known in the minds of Falcons fans. They're going to be, you know, G'd up for him when he comes out there on a third down situation to rush the passer. And he showed last year. He actually his sack conversion rate was very, very good. So can he build on that? I think that's the big question. But he's also, both these guys, he and Zach Harrison, are so assisted. And it's a great point that you make, John, about this interior defensive line, the way that they're going to be able to create havoc. It's something that Raheem Morris really relied on in L.A. with a first ballot Hall of Famer and Aaron Donald. But it just shows when you have a guy like that, or a couple players like that in this case, with, you know, Onyemata and Grady Jarrett, and kind of combine to create that chaotic individual in the interior, really allows these guys on the edges to have more opportunities.
Sports Radio 90 Time, the game, Falcons, first Falcons Sunday of the year. We are live outside Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Wade Ford Tailgate Show, sponsored in part by the Breakfast Sauce from the makers of the W Sauce. So good you want breakfast all day long. Visit the WSauce.com to find a breakfast sauce retailer near you. And they got the breakfast sauce going on down here at the W Sauce tent. Just down about 50 feet from us here. So, yeah, you can smell sights, sounds, and everything of it.
John, I'm just looking right now at some meat that's on a grill, and then there was the guy had tinfoil and just pouring juice on top of the meat that then steamed up when it hit the grill. Oh, my gosh. And now he's spraying. Now he's spraying it. It's all good stuff. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we are all excited about exactly everything going on right now with the Atlanta Falcons in this opening game here. We mentioned the Eagles and Chiefs, the next two opponents, both winning in their opening games here. But the Falcons do have a very difficult schedule. We talk about Pittsburgh today, then Philadelphia primetime, then Kansas City primetime. Then you're going to get New Orleans. Then you get three straight division games. You get the Swampers. You get Tampa in prime time on a Thursday night, and then you get Carolina. Those are your next three games after that. In this schedule, just broadly, one of the things why it's so important to start quickly, Joe, is in the first 10 games of the year, you're going to play five division games, which means from after week 10 to the end of the year, then the only other division game you're going to play is Carolina in the final week of the year. You've got to be above water in the division. You've got to be at the worst 3-2 after week 10 in the division, because you can't make up anything because there are no more division games to be played.
Yeah, it's really going to set the tone for the season. Not for these first three games necessarily, which I think was what a lot of fans have been looking at, because I think the first three seasons is more of the litmus test. It's a nice spell of games to see where you actually are.
You're talking about Steelers, Eagles, Chiefs.
Steelers, Eagles, Chiefs. Yes, exactly.
And it's the next three.
And then the next three is really where you actually gain the advantage on your direct competitors in this NFC and in the NFC South, of course, and if you want to get that NFC South championship, which Raheem Morris has obviously laid out as the goal for this team. So it's kind of interesting the way the schedule breaks down into this first three games, where you could very well be 1-2 after these first three games. If we were just going to go by, you know, what the Vegas odds are going to be, their Falcons are favored today. They'll probably be the underdogs in the next two games. But then you would expect them to, I would think, be favorites in those next three games that they play against the division. I think the Falcons are the betting favorites, obviously, to win the division. But they've got to make a count there. Those are going to be the games I think they will be very interested to see how they actually live up to the expectation of the fans are going to be kind of expecting and demanding that they win those games. I think fans are going to be generally okay with whatever happens in these first three because they know it's going to be tough. But then, yeah, like you said, that's where your bread is buttered in those division games.
All right, just looking at the schedule today, we mentioned the Chiefs winning over the Ravens, the Eagles beating the Packers. Two great games, by the way, both exciting games. Though if they never play another game in Brazil, I'm sure
a lot of flags. It's the only thing that has not been exciting for me in these games is the flags. And obviously, they've got these points of emphasis. Hopefully, we don't see a ton of that today.
All right, so today you'll have at 1 o'clock Cardinals. I'm going to go down the list of games.
Sure.
So you have a chance to just tell me if you have anything to add, you can add it.
Sure.
Bills are at home against the Cardinals, debut of Marvin Harrison.
Yeah, it should be interesting. I think that Cardinals team is going to be frisky.
Bears are at home against the Titans. Everybody wants to know about Caleb Williams.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what actually happens. He had some highlight throws in preseason, but he was only, you know, the completion percentage was not that great in some of these. So let's see how he does against an NFL first team.
Bengals at home against the Patriots, heavy favorites, and the return of Joe Burrow.
Yeah, he should feast against that Patriots team.
Dolphins at home against the Jaguars, the two teams down in Florida. I don't know who the best team is of the bunch, but, you know, at some point the Dolphins are going to have to do it. They're going to have to do it or get off the pot.
You have to think the Dolphins are going to roll today, considering that's typically what they do this time of year. But, yeah, I don't think we'll truly be bought into the Dolphins until we see them later on in the season.
Colts are at home against the Texans. The Texans, a lot of high hopes. The Houston Texans fans think it's Super Bowl this year. Return of Anthony Richardson for the Colts.
I was going to say, and an Indy. I think so many fans, NFL fans in general, are excited to see what Anthony Richardson can do.
Vikings, of course, without Kirk Cousins and without J.J. McCarthy for the year now.
Yeah.
At the New York Giants. And then you have the first division game in the NFC South. Dave Canales in his debut with the Carolina Panthers down in the swamp. 1 o'clock kick today against the New Orleans Saints. So we'll see the Panthers and the Saints today in what could be kind of a scene setter for both teams here. And the Swampers, and I know that, again, I don't want to just not understand that I'm an anti-Swamper, which I am, obviously. But I don't know which way this is going to go for them.
Right.
Now, I know that they're thinking that they're going to be a playoff team down there, and I'm thinking they're probably looking at some of the quarterbacks like Carson Beck, thinking maybe it's time for us to get the number one pick.
Yeah, exactly. They have an opportunity to part with Derek Carr after this season. Dennis Allen, I think, is probably going to be the first coach fired if things go the way I think they're going to go. I think things could go very badly in New Orleans this year.
4 o'clock games, Raiders and the Chargers, and the debut of Jim Harbaugh as the coach of the L.A. Chargers, and that's an old blood feud between those two.
Mm-hmm.
Broncos are at the Seahawks. Cowboys at the Browns. Interesting game. A lot of pressure on Mike McCarthy and a lot of pressure on Deshaun Watson. Commanders are at the Buccaneers, so the Bucs at home. And Dan Quinn is back as a head coach in the NFL.
Hey, he can help out the Falcons today.
Right, exactly, he can. 8:20 tonight, the Sunday night game, the Rams and the Lions. And then a lot of focus on the Monday night football game this week because the Jets are at the 49ers and the return of Aaron Rodgers.
Maybe he'll last more than four plays this time. Who knows? But I think I love that Sunday night game tonight. Rams-Lions, that is could potential NFC playoff game.
Yeah, well, absolutely. But I don't really know how the NFC West is going to go.
I know. It's a big question mark.
That's a really weird division.
It's competitive.
I know the 49ers are the favorites, but beyond that, I think you put the Cardinals, Rams, and the Seahawks and throw them into a pile.
Yeah.
I don't know which one comes out.
There isn't, it feels like in years past, and it's typically been the Cardinals have been the one they're kind of pulling up the rear there, but I think all these teams are going to be competitive with one another. I think it's a reason why I don't think you're going to have a runaway winner of this division, of the NFC. I don't think a team in this conference that has a super easy schedule, except for one team.
Well, but then again, you know, schedules are funny because you say, oh, it's really easy, and then you get late in the year and suddenly the Washington Commanders are like 10-2 and Jaden Daniels is the greatest quarterback of all time, and you're going, oh my god, look, this is gonna be so hard. So you never know. I mean, you just don't. It is a Falcons football Sunday. We are now 1 hour closer to kickoff here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. The buzz is a-building. When we get back, the Wait For Tailgate show will continue as we look ahead to the Falcons, the Steelers, and the opening of this season on your home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.